Shlomo Sulam, Volume 3, page 272, The Importance of Society. It is known that since man is always among people who have nothing to do with work in the path of truth, and on the contrary, they always resist those who take the path of truth, and since people's thoughts mingle, it turns out the opinions of those who resist it go into the minds of those who have some desire to take the path of truth. Therefore, there is no other counsel but to set up for themselves a society so that they'll have a framework which is a separated community, which doesn't get involved with other people who have other opinions than this society. And they have to each time awaken themselves the matter of the purpose of this society, so that they won't follow the masses, because that is nature. Because if society isolates itself from other people, meaning that they have no connection with other people regarding spiritual matter, but all their contact with them is only about corporeal matters, then they don't mingle with their opinions, because they have no connection regarding religion. Whereas when a person is among religious people and begins to argue and speak to them, he immediately mingles with their thoughts, and beneath his consciousness, their minds go into his. So much so that he'll not be able to understand, to feel that they're not his opinions, but that he received them from other people. Therefore, in the work on the path of truth, a person needs to isolate himself from other people, because the path of truth is something that needs continuous strengthening, because it is against the opinion of the world, the rest of the world, because the opinion of the rest of the world is knowledge and reception, whereas Torah is about faith and bestowal and giving. And if a person distracts himself from that, he immediately forgets all the work in the path of truth and falls into a world of self-love. And only a society that works by each man helps his fellow man, then each of the society gets the strength to fight the opinion of the rest of the world. We find in the Zohar that it says, a man who sits in a city where evil people sit in it, and he cannot observe the mitzvot of the Torah, and he does not succeed in it, he changes his place and settles in a place where there are good people with Torah and mitzvot, because the Torah is called tree. As it says, that she is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her. And a person is a tree, as it says, for is the tree of the field a man. And the mitzvot and the Torah are like fruits. And it says, only the tree which thou knowest that they be not trees of food, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. Destroy from this world and cut from the next world. And because of that, he has to uproot himself from that place where there are evil people, where he cannot succeed in the Torah, and plant himself elsewhere among righteous, and he'll succeed in Torah and mitzvot. And since man, that the Zohar Kadosh, the Holy Zohar, resembles to a tree, just like the tree suffers from bad neighbors, meaning that you always have to cut down the weed out, the weeds that are around him, around it, that affect it, that influence it, so should man stay away from bad neighborhood, meaning from people that the path of truth is not theirs. And you need extra care for that. And that is called seclusion, meaning that he is in thoughts of a single authority, which is called bestowal, and not multiple authority, which is self-love, which is called two authorities, meaning the authority of the Lord and his own authority. By that we understand what our sages said. Rav Yehuda said, Rav said, first man committed blasphemy. As it says, he committed blasphemy. And Rashi explains, he committed blasphemy, meaning he was tending to worshipping the stars. And another interpretation says, do not follow your heart. This is blasphemy. That since his heart tends to the other side. And all this is very perplexing. How can you say about the first man that he was tending for worshipping the stars, working for himself? But according to what we learn about the work of God, that it is all about bestowal, we find that if a person works in order to receive, that is an alien work, worshiping the stars, that we should work only in order to bestow. And he took everything in order to receive. And that is why he said that he failed and do not follow your heart, meaning that he could not take the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge in order to bestow, but he took it in order to receive. And that is called the heart, meaning that the heart wants only to receive for himself, and that was his sin. And from that we understand the benefit in society, which can bring a different atmosphere that will be only work in order to bestow. When a person is among people, how does he protect himself from alien society? You can catch the spiritual virus only if you don't defend yourself against it. Or the other way around. If you're passive, you're bound to catch the spiritual virus and be under its control. So how can you not catch it? Not catch it means not to surrender to alien thoughts. To initially decide that it is alien, and because the smaller is impressed by the bigger, so if you're going to a meeting, for example, with important people, and you're impressed with them about your work, for example, if you're a doctor, you work in computers, construction, whatever, you can be impressed with people. You go and see people, and the professionals, they're very influential, you're impressed with them. You have to prepare yourself and understand that their greatness is in this world, and they are great in their narrow field and knowing how to find a way, how to do something in this world. But beyond that field, then they're not only small, they're zero, they're nothing. Where you are, they don't even exist. So if you're going to learn a trade from them, or to work under them, and you want to learn from them in that field, But on the other thing, if you begin to speak to him, you'll see that he's like an infant, maybe less than that. So we should not confuse our impression in this world from people. I met up with presidents, and they were very influential. But in my field, they had nothing. So on the one hand, I was impressed with what they could do, but I explained to them, and I explained to them and showed them a little bit of my field, and it was very clear how it went. The same thing you should do with every society, in every society, to treat them with respect. Torah tells us to relate to everyone the same. We don't know the task, the role of every person. We have to treat them all equally, courteously. But we have to make sure that where I'm great, they're nothing. And if only I spoke to them, they would be impressed with me. By that, you divide it in two, where they are and where you're impressed with them, and where your internality is. And this is where you're great, and this is where they cannot touch. This is how a person builds like an inner screen and protects himself. It's the same with your kids, your family. Anything external can confuse me, but it should confuse me externally, not internally. There, I'm with myself the whole time, with my God. That's it. I can't touch it. It's very important. We're in all sorts of places, and there we act completely externally. That way, it stabilizes you. This way, you'll be able to not be affected by external things. But towards society, what do we do in society? In society, do I want to be affected by them? Outside of here, if someone tells me what to do in my job, I listen to them. But internally, do I open myself to the influence of society or not? This is about my society. Now he's talking. So, in my society, I should open myself internally as well. I should take my internality and divide it in two. The most internal, which is my own, and I keep it to myself, I keep it so that I never drop from that degree and no one goes there. But the external part of my internality, with it, I'm in contact with my friends. And I want to be influenced by them. But I want to be influenced selectively. I want only the good things that bring to me the greatness of the Creator, a greater desire for spirituality, as opposed to the services of this world. These things I take externally and I take them inside. But I don't just give my heart to anyone to go in and do whatever they want. But at that point, I work with my internality. I was reading from the article. If society isolates itself from other people, meaning detaches itself spiritually from other people, but it's all contact, it's only about corporate matters, their opinions don't mingle because they have no connection in religion. She can mean both external and internal religion. Whereas a person among religious people and who begins to argue with them and speak to them, he immediately mingles with their opinions, and beneath his consciousness, their opinions penetrate his, so much so that he cannot tell between them. He cannot see that they're not his opinions, but the ones he received from outside. Person cannot tell what is in him and what is not. As infants, we absorb things from outside and we take them as our own. And anything that comes from outside, we think that what we have inside is our own. And then they become our own too, just like a habit turns to second nature. Here too, we have to divide and relate to our internality selectively. The point in the heart begins to grow in man when he has already been educated. He belongs to a nation, to a society. His externality is already of set to a certain degree. So now he should build his internality. Meaning, he must understand that externality is something that he had nothing to do with. It came on him from above. Everything that's in him is the result of his absorption of externality. So his beastly ego is a result of society. And that is something that has nothing to do with spirituality. So my externality, I should relate is to something that's completely alien to me. That if I were to examine them spiritually, then maybe my externality would be completely different. If a person relates to it this way, it helps him to isolate himself from externality and build an internality that's detached from externality, and then there are two things that are completely disconnected. He has a clear view on himself from outside, on his internality, and on his externality, what he does with those two parts. his internality he chooses. And his externality is something that's already done. It's his nature by now. He doesn't have any choice there. But he should relate to it as things that were once external and went inside him without any criticism or will, conscious will. I'll give you a simple example. How I hated falafel when I first came to Israel. I couldn't smell that thing. I saw how people were eating it on the street. And then I began to do it myself. It was very strange. It depends on who you cling to. I was among ultra-Orthodox and among Kabbalah students, and I tried as much as possible to avoid, not that I was not involved, but I tried to be as uninvolved as possible with opinions of that just, you know, came to me. The truth is that man's inner society is the material that he reads. That is his world. The letters, the articles, the songs of Yudash, like all the things I heard. This is my internal world. That's where I actually live. But besides that, there are other spheres that I let them influence me, depending on how much I let them influence me. Maybe some things I cannot examine, and I can't see how they influence me, that they're above my limit of consciousness, sensitivity. But I try. From above, they'll take into consideration your efforts, only your efforts. To the extent that internality is important to you, you make an effort to guard it. See how much effort people make to watch their money, to guard their money. In a safe, in a bank, in a bank account abroad, something that's precious to you, you want to guard. If you could, he would just swallow it and keep it inside him. In fact, what they're trying to do is put it as much as they can inside them. It's like that with children too. It's all a question of importance. If spirituality will be more important to you, you'll do it naturally. Otherwise, it'll be artificial. It'll help to do it artificially as well. But before it's important to you, it'll never happen that spirituality will be something internal. And you'll begin to worry how to guarantee that it'll stay safe and not be harmed. My inner group are of Baruch Sulam, what they wrote, a little bit of Amchal, Rabbi Shimon, things that influence me well, that I'm small next to them. I picture myself sitting with them and want to hear something from them. That's my internal group. external group includes more people who live with me, my time, and I want to be impressed with them, with their greatness and spirituality. That's what I want to hear from them. Apart from that, I want to hear nothing. They can talk whatever they want, but what I want to hear is only that. I want to hear only these words. The Lord is great. What I need from my friends, I have to make them bigger in my eyes, and greater than myself, in order to be impressed with them. Otherwise, how will I be influenced by them? That's why I said that if I go to see a professor, I have to be influenced with him about health. And Torah tells you to go to a great professor, pay money, listen to what he tells you, and do it. You have to surrender yourself before him. And about other things, he can be, I don't know what. It's got nothing to do with me. I buy his expertise. In every society. The problem is that people go to work and begin to confuse themselves. He doesn't like his work. People don't like the work because there's no spirituality there. What do you care? On the contrary, if you work with objects, not with people, you're not influenced at all. But if you work with people, you can constantly refine, sharpen your tools to not be in contact with them about anything that has to do with internality. Then you'll feel how much they don't connect. You'll treat them as people who eat, sleep, drink, live. We all have these problems. It doesn't have to be like that. If there's internality in you, his internality and externality are the same. But you have your beastliness and your internality. So differentiate one from the other, and that's it. Separate them. When I talk to a small child, do I have to talk to him like a Kabbalist? I speak to him like a kid. The same at work. It's not hard for me to look at a friend as great and be impressed with him. If I go in the kitchen and I see this person working harder, I look at him, I see that he's making an effort. He's not an idiot. He can do other things instead. You can rest. Why does he do it? When people work hard before Shabbat, and I go in there, I'm very impressed with the efforts they make. They have strengths that I don't have. I'm very impressed with it, with how they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walk about here by myself with nothing to do. I'm not attracted to anything. Can't convince myself to go and put in a few good hours. If I try, I give up after a few minutes. And you think they don't get these thoughts? I'm the only one with such a great evil side, and they don't. Maybe they too have these inner struggles. But despite that, they're there, taking part. When I look at that, I have a great deal to learn from them. Now you can say, okay, by learning from them, they're great in the kitchen. So, okay, in the kitchen, they're great. But what can I learn from them about spiritual things? So let me tell you, you don't have to learn spiritual matters from anyone. You should be impressed with each person you should be impressed with their attitude, with their approach towards spirituality, that they want it. You cannot be educated by them, but he demands. He demands, and that is what you should learn. You should learn how to create that demand. The expression of that demand is in his work. If you look at people who work, who put in effort, they don't learn so much. They work more than they learn. They're the ones that sustain this place, and they benefit more than people who sit here and get wiser by the books, get smarter by the books. We don't think so, but they're making greater corrections than us who just sit here and on our butts and just study. They make great corrections because you correct the will, the innermost thing that there is, the desire. It can only be affected in actions, not in study. A person who works, you're saying it's a lot easier for him to work on something physical than it's a lot easier for him to work something in something physical than to sit here and study. People who are on the path get questions regardless of how smart he is, because the questions are about the will, not about his brains. That's why we see very smart people who come here and become foolish. And you see what happens to them. He wanted to know. He doesn't want to know why. Because it acts, that acts against the desire. And about the desire, it's got nothing to do with their brains. The desire is not something, it's more internal than cleverness. That's why the questions that a person asks when he makes an effort, if his everyone feels these questions against their desire, about their desire. but those who put an effort in physical work, in circulation, in working in the kitchen, they touch the progress itself. After a few years, when you learn a lot, you'll know that the study itself, you'll see that the study itself doesn't give you anything, only the effort in society. And then you'll make an effort in society. Maybe it'll be in circulation, and not exactly in physical works, but it'll still be aimed toward society. But it takes years to learn that. When we are dealing with circulation, we meet alien people, strangers. That's circulation. You want to give them something that they don't have, and you do. So their nature is to resist it because people don't want to take something from another person because it lowers them down. Our ego doesn't want to view someone else as greater than me. So what he knows, I instinctively put down. So of course they have a natural inner resistance to that. We have to help them break that resistance. We have to show them that we're given something that will be good for them. You have to come from their own level. Coming from their own level is like mercy, because mercy spreads in width, not in height. You have to show them that you're going without any thoughts, any calculation. So if you come to them and you can immediately radiate that kind of approach to them, that all you want is their good, you don't feel that you're coming to give them. That you want to maybe dominate them with your mind, your understanding, and by that you begin to turn them to face you, to break their resistance, to have an open contact with them, provided they don't know. When they do know, to the extent that they want to receive from you, you have to do the opposite. You have to show how much greater you are than them, so that they'll be impressed with you, and this way they'll receive more from you. That is why you cannot be a prophet in your own town. Because when people remember you small, you'll never be a prophet, even if you are a prophet already. Because people on the street can't understand that a person can become a prophet if 20 years ago he broke my window and playing soccer. Because they're still, they don't change. So they think no one can change. That's why they say there's no prophet in his own town. If you go elsewhere, people will respect you, will think you were born that way. So the contact with society that you come to should be in relation to what you want from them. You have to build your externality according to what you want to get from them, what you want to give them. Sometimes you have to distance yourself from them. Yes, that you came to give to them. And sometimes you have to be like a good father. These are emotional things that are sometimes hard for us to control, because we too go through various situations. But you have to learn it. I'm not a good teacher at that. You have to change according to who you speak to. You have to learn it. It's not that you're lying to people. We do it anyway subconsciously. But here, in order to influence a person and bring him closer, you have to do it because you want to bring him closer. You have to constantly adapt your external wrap. When we speak of circulation, we're talking about outside our society and in a place that you're there for that purpose. I don't think that I didn't see that with my experience that something good comes out of trying to circulate it at work. It's not a good idea to mix internality and externality, work and circulation. When you go to work, be a good worker, just like everyone else. Don't jump and don't take anything off yourself. When you come out of them, come out of there, do whatever you want, but don't do it at work. It usually ends up causing bad things. All along the way, you shouldn't mix internality with externality. Kabbalah shouldn't be circulated like that. Not at work, on other occasions.